are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, of course, now that we've got a coaching staff, we can turn our attention to the offseason, and that is to getting things done in the draft and in free agency. And to help us assess the draft, we'll bring in one of the smartest guys in the business, Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com and NFL DraftScout.com. Dane, what's up, bro?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dane, always a pleasure. Guys, great follow on Twitter if you want to keep up to date on scouting for this draft at DP Brugler. That's DP Brugler. Dane, I'm sure, as you know, given that this is a Cleveland Browns show, we might be interested in talking to you about your take on the quarterbacks. And your latest mock draft has John Football going to the Browns at number 4 overall. So we'll start with him. Johnny Football, Bortles, Bridgewater, talk about those three, but start, obviously, with the man, John Football.
Yeah, you know, this draft season is going to be dominated by Manziel talk. You know, the next few months are all going to be about why or why not he should be drafted high, whether or not his style of quarterbacking will be successful in the NFL. And if I were to describe Johnny Football in one word, it would be unique. And that's not meant in a negative way. It's not really meant in a positive way either. It's just, he's different. He's a very unique type of prospect, and there really isn't anyone like him in the NFL. He's really an exciting player. When I study him on tape, he has enough arm strength, extremely fleet of foot. In scouting, you know, we have a term, bull in a china shop, for power guys. Well, Manziel is a ninja in a china shop with the way he can scramble, those instincts, the way he can contort his body, make plays. The mechanics can be all over the place, but at the same time, you know, he does what works best for him. I think he's smart, ultra competitive. I love the confidence. There are some maturity questions. You know, he's going to be a guy who he's going to do what he wants to do off the field, and there's nothing wrong with that. You just hope he grows out of that party lifestyle sooner rather than later. I think his decision making needs to improve at the next level. I think he got away with a lot of decisions in college that simply won't work in the NFL. And, you know, really, we can debate the skill set and the maturity, but really the size and the durability, those are things that they cannot be ignored. It's in Manziel's DNA to extend plays with his legs, hold on to the football until the last possible moment, and I don't think that's going to change. So I think hits to his frame are unavoidable, and in a league where defenders are bigger, faster, stronger, there are legitimate questions about how long can he hold up? Can he last a full 16-game regular season? You know, these are all types of questions that NFL scouts and general managers will be debating now through the draft. So a very exciting prospect. And, you know, you mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. To me, he's the top quarterback in this draft, the guy who, from a mental standpoint, I think he has everything you want. I think the size, he has, you know, slight shoulders, thin hips. The size isn't exactly what you want, but he has the arm strength. He has the mental aptitude that you want. And then Blake Bortles, I think this kid has the full toolbox from a mental, physical standpoint. He can do a lot of things with his legs, a lot of things with his arm. He's going to flash sometimes that make you think of Andrew Luck, and then some other times, you know, you're going to scratch your head and say, what is he doing? So a young kid who, you know, needs time to develop and refine those skills. But I think those three quarterbacks, you know, very talented guys, and definitely a lot to talk about with those three.
Dane, talking about Johnny Manziel, obviously he's not going to grow taller. He's not going to, you know, become anything different in some of the basic elements that are just him that define him. Like you said, the willing or the desire to run and all those things. But what can he do in the controlled settings of the off season, of the combine, of the interviews with teams, of the on-campus visit and so forth, or on-campus workout? What are some of the specific things, if you were advising him, that he needs to do to convince the talent evaluators of the NFL that he's the best of this group?
Well, I think, first of all, it starts with, you know, we mentioned the maturity. And, you know, we saw that already. You know, he turned down some offers to be in New York for the Super Bowl and, you know, different parties, different events, turned those down so he could train for the combine. I think his, you know, his agent did a smart job in letting that information leak out there. And so I think, you know, he needs to continue to do that so he can impress during the interview process and really be upfront about, you know, what football means to him, that, you know, he needs to show that he does have a passion for it. And even though, you know, he's a 21-year-old kid, he just turned 21, he does have the maturity that you want to, you know, lead the troops up and down the field. So, from a mental standpoint and off-field standpoint, I think he needs to show that, you know, he can be the guy, in that respect. And then, you know, on the field, I think, you know, he needs to really refine his, mechanics and his ability to be a consistent pocket passer. You know, obviously the height, he's not going to get taller. He's not going to get much bigger. But he needs to show that, you know, even with everything collapsing around him, he has the patience to hang in there, let routes develop, not get, too hectic with his feet and with his mind, stay patient in the pocket, and he can still win from inside the pocket. You know, we know he can scramble. We know he can get outside the pocket and do some things with his legs and make some crazy throws and, you know, keep plays alive. But, you know, when everything's going crazy around him, can he stick in the pocket and show that type of toughness, both physical and mental?
Dane, let's say the Browns maybe go off the board and take Sammy Watkins at number four. Of that second group of quarterbacks, the guys that would maybe be available to them at the end of the first round or at the beginning of the second round, who are some people that you think could stand out that maybe Browns fans should do a little bit of homework on if in fact that is the way that the Browns decide to go at number four?
Well, yeah, if the Browns don't go quarterback at number four and they look at quarterback maybe with their second first-round pick or even in the second round, I think, you know, you're looking at a guy like Derek Carr who, you know, it wouldn't shock me if he snuck into that top 10 just because there are some, you know, desperate QB-needy teams in the top 10, maybe the Vikings at 8, for example, who might take a chance on a guy like Derek Carr. But I think a better landing spot for him will be in that late first, early second-round range. Carr, he has all the arm strength you want. You know, I think he's going to be connected with his brother, David Carr, former number one overall pick, who was a bust with the Texans. But I think that connection is only a positive because, you know, he was around the NFL game when he was 12, 13 years old. So he knows what to expect in the NFL. He's very mature, very grounded. He reminds me a lot of a Matthew Stafford type. And so I think when you're looking at a guy like Carr, he has the arm strength. You know, he needs to control the feet and control the footwork. There are some questions about, faith and family are very high for him. You know, how and football is number three, but, you know, how below number three is football aside from one and two? So I think that needs to be investigated. So there's a few things that you have some questions about him, but, you know, the arm talent is special. At the Senior Bowl, he was by far the best quarterback down in Mobile this year. So I think Derek Carr definitely got to watch for in that late first, early second round range.
Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com, draft analyst, is breaking things down for us as we head closer and closer to the 2014 draft in May. Dane, as you see the first round shaking out with all of the obvious quarterback discussion and the fact that you have teams like Houston at the very top interested in a quarterback. We know about the Browns' interest in a QB. But how do you see the board being impacted by non-quarterback positions? And as you sit here right now, in your mind, who is the best player on the board? Is it, in fact, a quarterback? And then how do you sort of rank things? Give me, like, your top five, your top ten as we talk to you today on February 6th.
Well, for me, it's Teddy Bridgewater at one. I think he's a starter from day one in the league. I think he can do a lot of things you want at the position. And, you know, it's tough ranking these guys because when you're talking about a quarterback, supersedes every other position. So if I see a guy who can be a starter in the league and a guy who could potentially lead me to the playoffs, he's going to get a little more push up the board. So for me, Teddy Bridgewater is at one. Jadeveon Clowney is number two for me. The freak athlete, pass rusher from South Carolina. I think there are some effort concerns there. As one scout put it to me, I'm not sure where his priorities are, but even scarier is I'm not sure he knows where his priorities are in terms of football. You know, where does football come? How much does he love it? Where's the passion? So, I think there are some questions there that need to be ironed out just from a physical standpoint. Freak athlete. That first step burst, the way he can, you know, convert speed to power and really just disrupt the pocket. Jadeveon Clowney, a really special type of talent, a guy who's not going to last long, even with the effort concern. Number three, I have Auburn's Greg Robinson, an offensive tackle, a guy who just manhandled edge rushers in the SEC this year for Auburn. He's a big part of that SEC. The national championship team that lost to Florida State. So, Robinson, a guy who, you know, needs to work on the pass protection. I think that'll come with time because he has the athleticism, he has the size, the wingspan. But he's a redshirt sophomore, still a young kid, but I think the potential is just off the charts. At number four, I have Khalil Mack, Buffalo. So another, we could potentially have another Mack prospect going in the top five this year. Eric Fisher, of course, went number one last year. But Mack's a versatile guy, guy that can get after the passer from a lot of different angles. He can beat you in different ways with speed, power, quickness. So he can do a lot of things for you. It's 3-4, fits in a 4-3. So really excited for his potential in the NFL. And then number five, I have Texas A&M's Jake Matthews, a guy who obviously has the bloodlines as one of the Matthews kids. And then, you know, he's played right tackle at A&M, played left tackle, very steady, very good technician, not flashy in, you know, too many ways, but he just gets the job done. So, you know, where we are right now, those will be my top five guys. I think, you know, Sammy Watkins, you know, he's in that mix. Eric Ebron from North Carolina, the tight end,
yep.
He's in that mix. So quite a few guys here at the top who, you know, I'm not sure if they have the star power, but they project as, you know, very good players in the NFL.
Dane, at the Browns' second pick, 26, or at the first pick of the second round, who are some of the wide receivers that you like down there? I'm falling in love with Brandon Cooks out of Oregon State. Want to get your take on him. And then also, knowing that Kyle Shanahan's here and the team wants to run that zone blocking scheme, who are some of the good one-cut runners or good backs that you think the Browns would have a shot at, either whether it be in the second, third, or fourth, as we know the NFL not drafting running backs so early these days?
Yeah, you know, and honestly, the wide receiver depth in this class is really why, you know, I might take a pass on Sammy Watkins in the top five, just because I know I can get a guy who is maybe not quite on the same level as Sammy Watkins, but he might just be a notch below. I can get a guy like that in a late first or early second. You know, you mentioned Brandon Cooks, who is, you know, not anything impressive. When you just look at him, he's not the biggest, not the tallest, but he's so fast, so quick, the change of direction skills, the natural receiving ability, the body control. I think you have a lot to work with there. You know, I've seen comparisons of Steve Smith and guys like that. So I think, you know, he's a guy who, you know, adds some adrenaline to an offense right away. Mike Evans from Texas A&M, another guy who, you know, I think he could even potentially compete with Sammy Watkins to be the top receiver off the board. You know, we know what he did in College Station the past 2 years with Johnny Manziel throwing him the ball. But, you know, he bailed Johnny out on a lot of occasions, the way he can box out defenders, his physical ability to go up after the ball. And then, you know, he knows what to do with the ball after the catch. He becomes an athlete, uses his strength, uses his quickness, and he can do stuff, you know, what you want. So I think from a wide receiver standpoint, this is a good draft if you want, you know, maybe a number two type of receiver, guys like Odell Beckham out of LSU, Jarvis Landry out of LSU, Allen Robinson out of Penn State. So some very good, intriguing names in that late first, early second round discussion. And then you mentioned the running backs, and I think you're, you know, dead on when you talk about running backs not being considered first round targets anymore. And, you know, we saw it last year. Last year was the first time since 1963 that a running back did not go first round. And if a running back does not go first round this year, it'll be the first time in NFL draft history we go back to back years without a first round running back. And I do think we'll see that. I think Carlos Hyde out of Ohio State, Trey Mason out of Auburn, I think those are the one and two backs in this draft. I think either would be, you know, good fits of the Browns, maybe in the second, third round.
What about Kadeem Carey out of Arizona?
A lot to like about Carey. I think, you know, he showed at Arizona, you know, that he can do it, you know, catching the ball, he can do it, rushing the ball. He has a good mix of quickness, but also a little bit of power to, you know, run after that initial contact, break tackles. But, you know, I think he would fit absolutely in, you know, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, like you said, that one cut, you know, zone blocking scheme.
Dane, appreciate your time. We're going to keep you on here because we know you're an Ohio guy, so we know you got a little bit of love for these Brownies, right? Is that your squad?
Of course. You know, I would love to see, you know, the Browns add some more talent in this draft and continue to build. And, you know, if I'm a Browns fan, you know, I'm getting excited with all the picks in this draft,
yep,
and the potential,
sure,
to, you know, see what they can do. So, absolutely.
Great Dane stuff. Brugler, again, you can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler and check him out at CBSSports.com and NFLDraftScout.com. Dane, we'll be checking with you throughout this process as we get towards the draft, the combine, see how the people are moving and falling and get a sense of, you know, from a scout's perspective, what you think is going to be the right fit for the Browns, what you expect them to do. So thanks, buddy, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Dane.
All right. Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com talking about the quarterbacks. You know it's going to be a big topic all off-season long. Well, now let's hear from the guy. When we return, we're going to hear from the guy who is going to be guiding and coaching those quarterbacks and coordinating the offense that they will run here for the Cleveland Browns. That's right. We hyped it up. We teased you a little bit. It's good television. Keep you, or good radio. Keep you tuned in here. But when we come back, Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, will be with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.